Back, gang. This is episode 235 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Tired, but I'm good.
Late workout?
No. Long weekend. I was acting like a young man this weekend, DeQuincy.
Oh, God. You're gonna pay for it.
I went to two concerts this weekend.
What?
And I went out on Friday night. Stayed out all night.
You were trying to relive your 20s.
I really was. That's one concert in Sugarland and the other in the Woodlands.
God damn. You were wilding out. I'm surprised you can even walk right now.
I'm lucky I was able to get up this morning. Mm-hmm.
Damn. You acting like you the one on vacation.
Yeah. And like I said, I went out on Friday. I stayed out all night until close.
I don't know how I did it, sir. Your dad should have came to you and be like, "Is everything okay? You're spending, right. You're staying out late. You're doing too much right now. Do we need to talk? Are we gonna take you to the church or the talk space or something? You're worrying me.
You're not a young man anymore.
Yeah, you can't keep this up anymore. Come on now. You're like, Chef, old man, I can do what I want."
Mind your business, Dad.
He will put you in a trash can.
But I'm good. Other than that, man, I'm good. You said you're starting vacation, which is good.
Yes, and like everyone knows, it's soon. It's that last day before vacation. It's like the last day before spring break or summer break. It's like, I want to get out as soon as possible. I woke up, went to work, clocked in at 6, and I was just ready to leave then and there. Right. In fact, I was ready to call in because I really wasn't feeling that well this morning, but I got better as the day went on. I had a coughing and sneezing fits all day. Oh, if I kept on going, they were probably going to send me home for fear of COVID. But yeah, that new strain is floating around. So mm-hmm. Be careful out there, people.
I got to ask.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just noticed. Have you ever gone this short?
What, my hair?
Up top?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's basically, there's like little slivers of hair, but it's basically bald. The only reason it's not bald is because I don't trust myself with a razor blade up there.
Sure.
I turn into what's his name? Was it Low Jack?
New Jack.
Okay.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Yeah, I don't want any of those problems. But yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Instagram post or the Instagram story. And then just talking to you right now, I'm like, it's a different look. It looks different.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't had my hair this short in, Jesus, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably since last year. I'm gonna try to keep it this short. It looks better this way with the shorter hair and the trimmed up beard.
Yeah, right on, man. And it's gotta feel pretty nice in the heat.
Yeah. Although now the sun is hitting directly on my dome, there's no hair to protect up there anymore.
True.
And I got a big ass head, so finding hats is not the easiest thing. Yeah, it's good. I'm like, I need to be looking a little bit more respectable. I am someone's daddy out here, so.
I gotcha.
Decent out of these streets.
Right.
But yeah, vacation. That's why we're coming. We're recording this podcast so late. It's 8:22 on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night evening. We got the Astros. I'm watching them right now. They're trying to give me heart palpitations, but they're winning right now. Wrestling's on, but I'm not watching that right now. I don't have them. I can't watch the Astros, WWE, and talk to you at the same time. We're supposed to be talking about football. I'll be over here talking about whatever the hell Gunther's doing.
Yeah, no, that's a tough ask of anybody.
Well, let's talk about football. You know, football season's right around the corner. I don't know if you in any fantasy leagues this year.
Not this year, man. I kind of miss it, though. I do baseball, but there is something about football that's like it's definitely different, and it's like it feels funner for some reason.
I think
I guess because it's like once a week.
Yeah, you only have to worry about like Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, and that's it. Compared to baseball, where you have to be on 7 days a week.
Right, right.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I haven't played fantasy football in forever. I wanted to get back into it this year, but the league that I wanted to join, it joined up. You know, everybody filled up a spot before I could get in, so I was like, maybe next year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it sucks. But all right. So we're here. We're going to talk some football. We're just doing the NFC tonight. We'll do the AFC in our next podcast and get through all that. So after our last podcast, me and Anthony were talking, and I asked him to rank the top five quarterbacks in the NFC. So we're going to go through our – I made a list too. He's made a list. So we're going to go through and see where we differ. So are you ready?
I am. And a note, side note.
Yep.
When you asked that – when you initially brought up the topic, I was like – it took me a few minutes to realize – Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the NFC.
Nah, you don't have that crutch anymore. It's gone.
So now my effort I have to put in goes from my effort went from 60% to now it's 80% of like figuring out who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFC.
Yeah, it's not easy. It was not easy. Let me tell you, I was doing it this morning while pretending to work. And number one was, you know, it was easy.
Yeah.
But two through five, woof, it got ugly real quick. So let's start with number one. Who's your number one?
I mean, it's obvious it's Jalen Hurts.
Agreed. It's got to be Jalen Hurts. So we both agree there. All right. Now here's where we're going to. We're gonna go in diversion paths right here. Who's your number two?
Oh man. Number two quarterback. You know what? I'm gonna go Dak. I'm gonna go Dak Prescott. Because he's not old. He's, you know, he's, I guess, probably right in his prime. But, you know, he's always been on a good team. And when he's healthy, he's had some devastating injuries. I mean, there's no question about that. But compared to other quarterbacks that have come back from devastating injuries that's not named Joe Burrow. He's played at a level that like it, as if he didn't miss a beat, right? Like he was still a very good quarterback when he came back the next year after that is that broken foot or ankle or whatever. You know, Dallas was still in it, I guess, but
they were in it till they embarrassed themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know but, who the hell
their thought. Problem is always their problem is a team thing. I mean,
it's always something. I don't know who the hell thought it was a good idea to put Zeke Elliott out there playing center by himself, but that person should have been tarred, feathered, and fired.
Yeah.
And not fired like fired from a job, like fired like set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. Dak Prescott, he played 12 games last year. Do you know how many interceptions he threw?
I don't.
15.
Ooh.
You know where that ranked in NFL last year?
The dead last.
Well, in one way of speaking, he was tied for the most 15 interceptions. Oh, do you want to guess who he tied with last year?
Geno Smith?
No.
No, no, not Geno Smith. James Winston.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Huh. I don't know.
Davis Mills. They.
Oh, God. Yeah, that makes sense.
I got to say, maybe it's because it's the era we're in. Looking at quarterback interceptions and seeing the high was only 15, it is different. Usually you see somebody throw like 20 interceptions or something, you know, some a rookie or some journeyman who just happens to start playing because someone got hurt or something. But to look at this and see, oh, I only threw 15 interceptions, that was a high for the year. So, like, quarterbacks are more efficient than ever.
The play is getting better. That's a good thing.
But still, I want to just talk about Dak. I mean, you only, like I said, play 12 games through 15 interceptions. That is not great.
No. And I feel like I guess part of my choosing Dak is just that team has always been constructed good enough to contend. But they've never been able to, you know, break through that last level or whatever, you know, get to that next level of, you know, being true championship contenders.
I agree.
But it's like, they've always been at the top of the division, you know, even with Philly's ascent and just kind of the carousel of the NFC East every year. I mean, it does seem like it's like the toughest division in football, but Dallas is always, you know, near the top, at least, it seems like. So I think that's just kind of that bias, that recognition bias of Dak. Because this is, I mean, like I said, this is really tough choosing after Justin Fields. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Dallas is always a team like you feel like you should take seriously every year, but you know they're going to shoot themselves in the foot every year, and they do it.
Right.
So, yeah. So Dak Prescott was your number two. My number two, surprise, Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions. Let me tell you his stats from last year. Mm-hmm. 4,438 yards, a 65% completion percentage, 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Wow. Those are some great numbers.
Yeah, quarterback rating of 99.3, QBR 61.1.
Let me ask you this. Has Detroit ever had a quarterback with a season like that? And that includes Matthew Stafford?
Matthew Stafford had some impressive seasons. Listen, I might go look him up because he's had those offensive seasons, especially when it was him and Calvin Johnson playing together.
There you go. Jared Goff didn't have Calvin Johnson last year. I think that makes it all that more impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, he was my number two. I felt like out of all the players behind Jalen Hurts, I was like, he's the guy who I think might take another step, like be that guy who throws 35 touchdowns for 4,500 yards and be good enough to get the Lions in playoff contention this year.
I mean, with those numbers and the way that the team is, the aggressive, you know, nature of the aggressive way that Detroit has been kind of going about trying to improve the team. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers gone, they've got a shot at winning the division. No,
I believe so.
You know, it'll be close between them and Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, but you know, I think again, Dak for me. Picking Dak at number two was just kind of that recency bias, or not recency, because, you know, Goff had a better year last year, but still, I think just the cumulative success that he's had individually as a team, Different story. I completely understand that. But I think
I'm not complaining because you know who number three is on my list?
Dak Prescott.
You got it. Like, no matter what I say about Dak Prescott, he still had a better year and more potential than the guys behind him, or at least on my list.
And, you know, I would say Goff, for me, I'll pick Goff as my number three just because I didn't look close enough at the numbers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it's still kind of hard to again, there's the recency bias of taking Detroit seriously. You know, it's like you're hoping that last year wasn't a fluke, that they, you know, improved and almost made the playoffs, right?
Let me double check.
I think they just missed.
I think they missed by a game or two.
Yeah, they finished second. They finished with a winning record last year. Like, that, they finished with a better record than Green Bay. Like, that tells you something right
there. They lost the wild card, the third wild card. They lost to Seattle because of head-to-head. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were on the cusp of being a playoff team last year.
Yeah,
so you got Jared Goff number three?
Yeah.
All right, so I got Prescott three. Give me your number four.
Number four, you mentioned it. I think you got to go Geno Smith to Seattle.
Ooh.
Had a hell of a year. I think it was it a contract year last year?
Yes, because he got paid.
Yeah, you know, that tends to happen. We'll see if, if he keeps it up, but I mean, he played like a guy who was hyped, like the guy that was hyped up going into his, you know, draft year.
Yeah, he got a contract, a decent size contract for a quarterback, 3 years, $105 million.
Mm-hmm.
So not break the bank money, but we trust in you money. Yeah, I had Geno Smith on my list as well. My number four was Matt Stafford, just because we saw the year he had last year, but everything went wrong for that Rams team last year.
True.
He's only 35. I think he still got some left in the tank. Cooper Kupp is still there. And they have a new head coach. I think, like, we've seen it before in Matt Stafford, even when he was in Detroit and not winning games or going to the playoffs, like, he could still put up the stats. So I believe in him to have a bounce back year.
Wait, no, Sean McVay is still the coach.
Oh, I thought he left. Am I tripping? I thought Sean McVay. Did not I thought he left to go to, like, disappeared to Taiwan. Am I kidding?
Right.
Oh no, he still is coach. You were right. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, things can't go as bad as they went last year. That's what I'm going with.
There we go.
I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, look, they're only a year removed from winning a Super Bowl. 2 years, I guess, now. Yeah, I mean, he's still, like, again, 35 is not the end of someone's career at this point.
God, I hope so. Me sitting here being 37.
Right. And he's still, you know, a big, productive, healthy quarterback. So, and their team, you know, look, they still have Aaron Donald on defense, right? You know, you can't go wrong with some of the guys that they still have, you know, left over from that Super Bowl team. And, you know, I was going to ask you, when you mentioned Jared Goff,
mm-hmm.
What do you think of that trade overall? I mean, obviously for Los Angeles, it was great because they won the Super Bowl, but considering how well Goff played last year, you know, is it? I guess when a Super Bowl really is at stake, it is okay to be a little short-sighted and just go all in, because it does seem like it's a little short-sighted. You know, he's still a young guy. He's still younger than Stafford.
Well, I think the trade for worked out for both teams. Like the Rams, they were in Super Bowl contention. They couldn't wait for Goff to become the guy they is now. It's like when the window is open, out of all the sports, football is the one where it is open the shortest. We're playing football. It's a car crash every day, every week that you put yourself through. So anything could happen. So you need to go out there and strike while the iron is hot. And that's what the Rams did in trading for Stafford. And for Detroit, they were still building something. Like, they're building to the playoffs. They're almost there. They're knocking on the door. So they could trade for a guy like Goff and be like, okay, we're going to stand behind you, give you a year or two. And then by the time you are who we think you can be, you'll be leading us to the playoffs. Or we'll find someone else. And for the trade worked out for both teams. You know, the Rams, they got the Super Bowl victory out of it. And for the Lions, it looks like they have their franchise quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's just the teams were on two different timelines. And the the quarterbacks needed to sync up with the timelines that the teams were on. Like, if you ask a Rams fan, they'd be like, yeah, we won a Super Bowl. We're great. Well, we were great. We won a Super Bowl. You know, and we can bounce back and you know, we got McVay, we got Stafford, we can do some more damage. And for a Lions fan, like, I have a couple of friends who root for the Detroit Lions. They're like, we can make the playoffs. We can make some noise. Good. Yeah, we're looking good. So it's one of those trades like we rarely see in sports where both sides walk away happy. But it happened. I'm like, it's great.
Future's bright for both.
Like, Detroit has more long-term future because Goff is younger.
Sure.
But if the Rams get hot and go to the NFC Championship or make a run at the Super Bowl, no one going to complain.
Yeah, and you know, I guess you're right, especially now that the NFC was weakened when Aaron Rodgers left for the Jets. The opportunity to make a run seems a little easier at this point if you're in the NFC.
Yeah, I'm gonna get back to that real quick. But who's your number five?
Number five, man. I went with I still hadn't decided. I was still a little undecided.
Okay, the Riddler over there, question mark. My number five was Geno Smith.
Yours is Geno, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the reason I wanted to do this list, talk about the quarterback, is not just so we can discuss how bad the quarterbacking is in the NFC, because it's bad, but I just want to point out what you need in the playoffs in the NFL. You need a quarterback who can make plays. And so when we go through here, we're looking through these teams trying to find division winners, who we think is going to make the Super Bowl. Like, this list matters. Like, who do you believe when, you know, the team is on their 25 and they're down four and they need to drive for a touchdown? What quarterback do you believe can do it? So since you couldn't figure out your fifth one, who give me your 1-4 again.
I've got Jalen, Dak, Geno, and who was the fourth one that I said?
Goff.
That's right. Oh, Goff, then Geno.
All right. That's what he said.
You know what? I'm gonna make the pick that you're gonna hate the most, because you seem to have passionate hatred for this man. You know who I'm picking.
Is it Kirk Cousins?
It's Kirk Cousins. Look, I mean, he finds a way to latch on to teams and be productive, it seems.
My
like.
Problem isn't with Kirk Cousins. It's with anybody who tries to pretend he's more than what he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's a serviceable quarterback. Their best chance to win the Super Bowl was a couple of years ago when they had everything around him. They had the defense, they had the running back, they had the two wideouts, everything. And they couldn't get done. And ever since then, that was like 3-4 years ago, this team has just gotten worse and worse. And they're like asking Cousins to do more and more. And it's like the Monopoly man. He reaches into his pockets and pulls out the inside. Like, I ain't got it. He don't got it. He's not him. He's not that dude. And that's fine if you can build the team around him, but they don't have that.
But I still think they're in a winnable division this year. Where I think he's got one or two more years in him before, you know, it's really time to start looking, you know, in a new direction.
I would argue it's past time to start looking in a new direction. Because like I said earlier, you're going to need the quarterback to make the plays. And we've seen time and time again during playoffs or in primetime games, when you need your quarterback to lead you down the field, he cannot do it.
Yeah. No, I get it, but I don't know. He's found a way to get in the playoffs the past few years, and it's just like, I think he's got one more run in it.
They got in the playoffs,
especially this year, because we don't know what Jordan Love is going to look like for Green Bay.
Oh, we'll talk about the NFC North. Believe you me, and talking about Kirk Cousins getting the playoffs. What happened last year? When they got in the playoffs, 13-4,
they got locked home game,
got bounced by Danny Dimes and the New York Giants.
I was close to picking Danny Dimes.
Oh, so that's what I want to ask. Who were your honorable mentions?
Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek Carr, because we don't know, you know, what he's going to be like on a new team.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields, because, you know, I think this is the year that you see real improvement with him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Team. And I think a part of it is the confidence that the team gave him by getting rid of the first pick, in the draft. Like, you have to really appreciate that, you know, that move by your organization, you know, by them not saying, well, you know what, we tried it for 2 years, it's time to move on. You know, they're not giving up on the guy, and I think that's going to motivate him to not give up on them.
Yeah. He was definitely one of my honorable mentions. Another one, a guy we both loved from the playoffs last year, Purdy.
Yes.
Brock Purdy. I just don't know what he'll be on the field, you know, coming off of Tommy John surgery.
Right.
Let's see, was there anyone else?
Non-throwing Tommy John, right?
It was his throwing arm.
Oh, it was his throwing arm.
Yeah, because remember, he could not pass at all in that game against was that against the Eagles, I believe? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, because he tried to go left, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
That's right.
He could not pass at all. So, let's see. Anyone else?
Let me ask you this.
I think Daniel Jones was also there.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. Yours, ask away.
I think it's interesting that neither of us has mentioned Kyler Murray up to this point.
Well, he's recovering from ACL tear.
Oh, he still is.
Yeah, I don't know when he's coming back, so that's why I just left him off my list.
Okay.
Like, if he was fully healthy, he would definitely be he'd be on my mention. I don't know if I would get him past Geno Smith. He'd probably be like six or something, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what I'm thinking. Even at this point, even if he was healthy, I wasn't even considering him for the top five.
Hey, I would be considering, because that top five is
yeah.
Not great. Let's see if there's any. news about him real quick. I know he tore his ACL last year. I haven't really heard anything about him coming back or when he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, because he tore it in December.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So that's not gonna be for a while. That won't be for a while, it looks like.
I'm guessing. So I'm trying to think how long it would take. Maybe like 10, 11 months. So sometime November, December, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
If he was fully healthy, I think he get an honorable mention on my list, but you know, I don't feel like saying anything about the poor guy.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. I was looking at lists earlier, other publications, and they were ranking like the top quarterbacks of the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts was always like the top NFC, NFC quarterback, and he would always come in around like 7 to 10 range. Because all the elite ones are in the AFC.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So let's go through division by division, pick who we think is going to win. And let's start with what I believe is the worst division in the NFC, maybe all football. And we'll start with the NFC South. Last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won with quotation marks this division at 8-9.
That's right.
I don't care how long this goes. I will always find it weird that we have 17 games.
Yeah.
And that was back when they had Tom Brady. 8-9, I believe, got knocked down the first round. I mean, playoff results. Where the hell are the?
Did they play
the Cowboys? No, they played the Cowboys. Remember, everybody was riding the Cowboys high right into that next game against the 49ers. They went all inside.
Right, right. That's right.
Yeah. They lost at home to the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
31-14. Let's see who else is in this division. Panthers 7-10. Saints 7-10. Falcons 7-10. PU.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that Carolina is going to take a step back.
Yeah.
Just because they have a full-blown rookie quarterback rebuild thing going on.
He might be the best quarterback in this division, man.
He might be. Well,
okay, here's your choices. For Atlanta is Desmond Ridder, who we know nothing about. Bryce Young, number one pick, but he's short.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video of him going to practice with the offense. Looks like one of those Make-A-Wish videos. who else? The Saints are going with Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going with Baker Mayfield.
Wow. Wait, what happened to Jameis Winston?
I don't even know. I think he's on the Saints.
Okay. So he's getting benched again.
You're gonna make me double check this. What is with your Jameis Winston love? That's the second time that you brought him up on this podcast.
Well, the guy is a wild. I think because he's a wild card, because he is very capable and has done and has thrown 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in like the same season, right?
Yeah, he's a backup for the New Orleans Saints. That's what I thought.
I thought after a season like that, they would still, you know, rock with him. But I forgot. He is going to have to take a backseat to the Carr because they made a, you know, pretty big investment in Carr. Yeah.
All right, so you went right for the Panthers. Man, I'm going straight for the Buccaneers and knocking them off, because not only do they have to live with Baker Mayfield under center, because they won the division, they get a first place schedule this year. They're going to be in hell.
Wait, is that how that works?
Yeah, when you win the division, the next year your division is hard. Your schedule is harder. It's their idea of parity.
Wow.
You come in fourth place, you get a fourth place schedule because it's easier for you. Yeah. So in fact, let me go look at the Buccaneers schedule while I talk about this.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Hey, what is that?
Because they might be in. All right. So let's see. Here we go. Regular season, start off at the Vikings, home for the Bears, home for the Eagles, at the Saints, home for the Lions, home for the Falcons, at the Bills, at the Texans, home for Titans, at 49ers, at Colts, home for Panthers, at Falcons, home for at Packers, home for Jags, home for Saints, at Panthers. So that's what? The NFC champion Eagles, the Bills who won the division, and the Jaguars. So they got to take on three first place teams from last year.
Mm-hmm. If anything's really going to hurt this team, because I look at this, the 49ers, right?
They're at the 49ers. They're home for the Lions, who I think are going to be good this year. Like, this schedule is very difficult.
Yeah, but I also see games against Falcons, the Texans, the Colts, the Falcons again, the Packers, the Saints, the Panthers.
Need I remind you who their quarterback is?
Right. If anything is going to hurt Tampa,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the fact that their bye week is like after week four. And after that, that's when you have to, you have to grind the rest of the year with those tough games that you mentioned, sprinkled in there. If anything, I think that's going to be the key. Or not the key, because the team isn't very good. But I think that's going to that's going to hurt them, I think.
I think they're going to be in hell next year. And if it gets bad enough, they might be like, hey, let's just tank for Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Three teams. So you're out on the Panthers, correct?
Yeah, because I think
God.
Look at their schedule as well.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the Panthers. That means I have to either trust in the Saints and the Falcons, and I will not trust in the Falcons.
No, they're out too. But the thing about Carolina is that I don't know how well constructed the rest of their team is. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to, it's one thing to draft a rookie quarterback, right? But what are they putting around him? And it's another thing to draft a rookie quarterback in, as we are now discussing, a very winnable division.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. I mean, you're right. Bryce Young could very well be the best quarterback early on, like quickly. But that all depends on what they have around them. I don't know if they have enough. And so for now, that's why I would put them finishing last. Just because I'm not sure what is all constructed around, this one guy, like the guy who was supposed to be, you know, your franchise. But the way it's so weird how we kind of stretch out this discussion because the teams are so bad, and it's just like it's hard to be definitive on anything because like all four of these teams are bad. But I guess if I'm going to pick anybody, I'll pick the Saints to win the division.
Mark that down right now. Taking the Saints.
At 8-9. I'll just say it.
I guess, America, do you think the division winner out of the NFC South gets over 500 this year?
No.
So I'm looking. I'm stuck in between the Saints and the Panthers. Because I can envision a world where what's his name? Bryce Young just has a crazy rookie of the year season, and it's enough to get them to a division title.
Well, I mean, that's
Derek Carr is the most proven quarterback. That's
right.
The world. Yeah. All right, I'll play it safe. I'll go with, let's not waste any more time. I'll go with the Saints with you.
Do you have them finishing or winning the division at 500 or better?
I got them at 9-8, just barely.
Okay.
All right, moving on to our next division. We're going to the NFC North.
Woo! It's a brave new world.
Yes. No longer will the Lions, Vikings, or Bears be trampled by that man called Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers. Man, they're going to have an interesting season behind Love.
Yeah, have you seen any reports on how he's doing?
I've seen nothing. And like, I don't watch preseason football because I love myself more than that. But my thing, if I haven't heard anything terrible, then everything must be okay.
Hmm.
But I see one team that I am in love with, and another team that I think might sneak into a wild card position. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm picking the Lions to win this division.
Yes.
They only missed by one game last year. I think they're better. I think Goff would be more comfortable in their offense. I know that they're a popular pick. They haven't won a this is crazy. They haven't won a division since the 1993 NFC Central. Not East, not West, Central.
The non-existent,
yeah,
NFC Central. No, I think that is a safe pick for this division.
I think it's fair to still have questions about their defense after last year, but I look at the other teams in here, and I don't trust the Vikings at all. I don't care what they did. And the Bears, I like them, but I don't think they're good enough to win this division.
No, not at all. Look, they were 3-4 team last year. I don't think any team has made that big of a, you know, a leap forward.
Yeah. But I could see them going 7-10 next year.
That's a fair prediction. I mean, that's a four game improvement.
they're still a year away from playoff contention. I think the Vikings, they were 13-4 last year, shit the bed in the playoffs, but
right.
They're going to be fighting for, I think they're going to be fighting for the division. It's probably going to come down to the last 2 or 3 weeks. We get a winner. Mm-hmm. And I can see the Vikings just getting like the fifth or sixth wild card position.
So I also have the Lions winning the division.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Vikings finishing second, playing for a wild card spot.
What do you think about the Packers?
Man, I don't know. That, like, you know, they you know, they haven't been in this position in what, 30 years?
Yeah, before they traded for Brett Favre, yeah.
Yeah, because which is weird because it's like, you know, they went to the same situation with Rodgers that they did with Favre. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but I don't think anyone ever thought that Jordan Love was going to be the guy. Like, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, I'm pretty sure, I know that people were like, okay, this is going to be the guy as soon as Favre leaves, this guy is going to step up. Like, I don't feel like anyone's like, oh, Jordan Love, he's definitely going to be, in his career, he'll be a top 10, top 5 quarterback. I feel like everyone's like, if he comes in and does his job and reaches potential, maybe he's top 15. Like, I don't feel any hype around him, you know?
Right. And so, you know, that's what makes it, that's what makes this so difficult to analyze, because it's like, if you don't believe that, if you don't feel that way about Jordan Love, why are you picking him in the first round in the first place? Like, because it's like, you see a guy get picked in the first round and you think, oh man, here we go with this is Brett Favre all over again, you know. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre and Rodgers all over again, and now it's just a matter of showing Rodgers the door, you know. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, he just did the same thing over again.
You think, but like you said, with Rodgers, it was more everybody. The consensus was, this is the guy in waiting. You know, he just needs his chance. But it really doesn't feel that way with Jordan Love, and I mean, that's why right now I can't see them finishing any higher than third. Again, yeah. I guess.
So you have them, and third, also, so you would have them above the Bears.
Yeah, because I don't know. Chicago makes a 4-game improvement, I think the Packers could finish at 8-9 again.
I feel like the Bears, I have more faith in the Bears than I do the Packers. Like, if the Packers in the year in third place instead of fourth, I'll be surprised.
I think
quarterbacks rule the NFL. I think Jordan Love has a chance to be good. I just think that what's his name? Justin Fields is better.
And you're saying he has a chance to be better now.
Yeah.
Or sooner than Jordan Love. And that's fair. I guess
I think Justin Fields in his career is going to be better than Jordan Love. Ooh, I silenced him. Hushed.
And also, and I think another way you can look at it is, again, Chicago made a big commitment by trading away the number one pick. And assuring this guy, hey, you're our guy. But with Jordan Love, it's like, hey, you know, we got rid of this guy because, you know, you're the only guy we got left. So, you know, don't screw this up, you know?
Yeah. Like, don't screw this up or we'll draft someone else.
Yeah.
You'll be out of here so fast. You see what we did to the Hall, two Hall of Famers, right?
Right.
All right. So we both got the Lions for the NFC North. So let's move on to the NFC West.
Do we need to pick a record for the Lions?
Oh, sure. Man, I wish I had the over under so we could, but I did not look them up.
That's okay. It's the...
Oh, the gambler in me is hitting. Let's go see. Let's go find some NFL over unders. Over under wins 2023.
I might look into doing some gambling next month or so.
Yes. Where am I? This is Vegas Insider, so I guess we're going with them. There we go. So, what's the first team? The Saints. Go back to the Saints real quick. New Orleans Saints, their over under is 9.5.
What? No.
Nah, they really believe in Derek Carr.
No, I'm sticking with 8 and 9.
I got 9 and 8, so I'm taking the. We're both going to take the under on that one.
Okay.
Put down that's 9.5 under for both of us. For the Lions, it's 9. Can't push.
Go over.
You go over?
I'll go over. 11 and 6.
All right, I join you. I'll pick over as well. So let's go on to the NFC West. Last year, San Francisco 49ers won division 13-4, followed by the Seattle Seahawks, who made the playoffs as a wild card team at 9-8. And dragging the rear, the Los Angeles Rams 5-12, and the Arizona Cardinals 4-13. My only question about the 49ers is who is going to be quarterbacking this team?
That's a great question.
Because I don't know if you've seen anything about Trey Lance, but that boy stinks.
Still?
Yeah, the entire thing I've seen about him just online, it's the sunk cost fallacy. It's like, San Francisco traded 3 first round picks to trade up to this guy, and now they're like throwing all the support behind him. It might be time just to cut bait. Like, I thought they should have tried to see if they can get a first round pick for him in this past draft, but they kept him. I don't see it.
Man, that is. Whew, boy, and your options after, you know, until Bert Purdy comes back, not any better. Sam Darnold, boy.
Your only hope is, if you're a 49ers fan, is this team, Shanahan, got every drop of talent out of Brock Purdy. Maybe he can do something with Sam Darnold.
Right, because San Francisco, if Trey Lance is playing as poorly as you're making it sound like right now, then they don't have a chance, because San Francisco isn't reliant on an all-pro quarterback. they're reliant on an efficient quarterback who can get the job done, like a game manager, you know. And if Trey Lance can't even do that, then they're in trouble. He's in trouble, at least. You know, you have to hope that Darnold can at least be efficient and you know, manage the game, but it's going to be tough if he can't do that either.
Yeah. My worry about them is they're going to stick Trey Lance out there, and by the time they realize they've made a mistake and pull him, it's going to be too late.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to sell for a wild card spot. Like, that's my fear. I know Kyle Shanahan has turned water into wine with these quarterbacks, which that makes me even more concerned, because I'm like, if you could do it with everyone in the world but not Trey Lance, not feeling great. Look at some of the other teams. Like I said, Seattle Seahawks. You know, they made the wild card. They got blowed out by, beat their ass. Someone beat their head like drunk. Let me not talk too loud. Woman's in the other room. She might come out here and beat me. By the 49ers, 41-23. I feel like they caught lightning in the bottle with the Geno Smith year. Like, mm-hmm. I think he's still going to be an above average quarterback. I don't know if he's going to hit the heights that he had last year. And like, no matter what, this division is still hell. All four of these teams should beat the hell up on each other.
Right. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is DK Metcalf getting better as a receiver?
I would say, yeah. I have questions about his diet, but besides that, he's good.
His diet?
Yeah, apparently, like, all he does is eat candy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He just eats candy, drinks coffee, and gets 1,400 yards a season.
I think if and have like shredded six pack abs, which is ridiculous for six, whatever he is, 300 pounds or whatever he is. I think if he's improving, and if Geno can play the way he played last year,
mm-hmm.
they've got a shot to take advantage of, you know, an unknown San Francisco team, you know, or a San Francisco team with question marks that, you know, they haven't had in a while.
Yeah. And what do you think about the stragglers in the division, the Rams and the Cardinals? I got something to say about the Cardinals.
Again, the Rams, I look, they're better on paper than their record, you know, would indicate, just because they, you know, they won the Super Bowl the year before. And to go 5-12 the very next year is just unprecedented. But I still don't know if they can make that big of a, you know, an improvement from last year. You know, I don't see the Rams going from 5-12 this year to 12-5, or last year to 12-5 this year, you know?
I mean, look, the Rams over under this year is 7.5.
I think that's appropriate. I think that's,
yeah, all these lines, very appropriate. It's almost like they want you to gamble or something.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them going 7-10, 8-9.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Everybody remember where I have them. And for the Cardinals, man, they're just hoping that they bottom out and the Texans bottom out.
Why is that?
Because they have the Texans first round pick next year.
Oh, okay. That's right.
I feel like one of those things is going to happen. I feel the Cardinals are going to bottom out. The Texans have no reason to bottom out. Their division isn't that good either.
It can't get any worse than they already were.
Don't say that. Never say that with the Kirby squad. Never. Cardinals over under 5.5 games. What was the last year? So Vegas feels strongly about the 49ers. Their over-under is 11.5.
Wow.
Yeah. Who do you think's winning this division?
Oh, man. Right now, I'm going to go Seattle because there aren't as many question marks about them. I feel like. I think it'll be close, though, because you just never know if Kyle Shanahan, you know, can pull one more rabbit out of his ass. I mean, his hat.
You can curse. I put the explicit tag on his baby.
You know, if he can do it again and find another quarterback to, you know, steady the ship.
We have our first disagreement because I'm taking the 49ers.
Okay. I mean, look, they're good enough constructed, you know, outside of the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to see McCaffrey and Shanahan's offense for an entire year.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely going to be interesting.
So the under overs for you, your Seahawks, their under over is 8.5.
Over.
You're going over? You better be. You think they're going to win the division? 49ers, 11.5.
Slightly under.
That's what I'm feeling right now because what they do last year, they went 13-4. 11 games. I think they go like 11-6. So I'm going to have them under, but slight under.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our last division for the night, the NFC East. Division won by the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles at 14-3, followed by the Dallas Cowboys. 12-5, New York Giants 9-7-1, and the Washington Commanders had a surprising season. They finished 8-8-1.
Right.
Did not see that coming. So like I said, the Eagles won the division. The Cowboys and the Giants were both wild card teams.
And you gotta love when two division rivals who, you know, are in the toughest division in football and could still make, you know, some noise, decide to tie with each other in the same season. Because the Giants Commanders, their tie was against each other. So that just throws a complete wrench into all of their plans.
You think about last year, we had two ties.
Yeah.
And one did not finish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because the ties were the Texans and the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then the Commanders and the
Giants.
And then the did not finish, unfortunately, was the Bills and the Bengals.
Yeah.
Crazy ass season. I'm surprised the Commanders finished that high. 8-1.
I am too.
Where they finish, and they were right behind the Detroit Lions, so they were ninth in the NFC last year.
Mm-hmm.
for all the hell that you hear about the Commanders and their previous owner and everything like that, like to be 500, like you gotta give them a round of applause, especially in this division. This division is hell. Like, I know I said the NFC West teams all beat up on each other, but the East, man. Yeah, three playoff teams and one team that was right on the doorsteps.
It's why it's the hardest division. That's, you know, there's a reason why it's the hardest division in football.
Mm-hmm. Look at these over unders. Let's see, where are the Washington Commanders this year? Their over under is 7.5. Respectable.
But it's still a regression from last year.
They can still, if they get the same record from last year, 8-1 is not going to happen. I don't think they're going to tie again. But if they actually got that, they would hit the over. So they're about the same as last year. Where are the Giants? Giants over under 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's basically the same as last year because they won 9 games. Those Dallas Cowboys, are they going to get juiced by the public? Over under 9.5.
Okay.
And then the Eagles, 10.5.
That sounds about right for them, mm-hmm. defending conference champions. Is it weird that, for me at least, that Washington is the most intriguing team in this division this year?
I would say with a division that features the NFC champ and the always overhyped Dallas Cowboys, yes.
But, like, you know that they're going to be up there. Like, they're going to be in the running.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to compete. But to go out and get, you know, Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to have that much of an impact? Like, because this is a make or break time for him as well, because it's like, this is his shot to prove that, you know, he's not just, you know, or he wasn't, you know, just a guy in Andy Reid's system, that, you know, he is capable of constructing an offense and, you know, showing something of it, because he doesn't have the best quarterback in the world anymore.
I was about to say, real quick, name the Commander's starting quarterback.
Can't do it.
Sam Howell.
Just know it's not the best quarterback in the world.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know about the Washington Commanders quarterback.
Yeah. So I'm looking at ESPN. They have the, you know, the analytics and the nerd ratings for every team. I say that as a nerd and everything. So they expect the Commanders defense to be like one of the best in the league. Like, they have it right here, third best, behind the Jets and the Broncos. The problem, of course, is the offense.
Right. So
the offense is expected to be better than only 4 teams: Arizona, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and Houston.
Jeez.
So if the offense can be somewhere in the middle, like somewhere in that 15, 16, 17 range, like, mm-hmm. this is a team that could contend for a wild card spot. So I will give it to you. I will tip my hat to you, sir. They are an interesting team. I think the other 3 teams in front of them are more likely to be playing in the postseason.
Sure. No, I completely agree. I mean, you pretty much know what to expect from these 3 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But could Washington shock the world and maybe finish 3rd in the division, knocking someone out of, you know.
Do you think it would be a shock if they finished third in front of the Giants? Because I don't like if that happened, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Giants take a step back. Daniel Jones isn't as good as he was last year. Saquon Barkley, fingers crossed, knock on wood, he isn't healthy this year. Like, I can see a world where the Commanders end up third. The crazy thing would be like the Commanders ending second in this division. Like, they knock off either the Cowboys or Eagles and they're in the wild card. Like, I think that would be the crazy earth-shattering thing.
Right. And is it possible, do you think?
I think it's possible that they can outpace the Cowboys because the Cowboys decide to change offensive play callers. Like, it's no longer Kellen Moore, it's Mike McCarthy.
Right.
And I'm not sure. Let's be honest. I don't want to be mean or anything, but there's nothing about Michael McCarthy that makes me confident in his ability to do anything when he's coaching. So like, if their offense falls off and the Commanders are like in that middle of the pack, like I could see it. Like, it wouldn't be crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. I feel like they're the most interesting team in that division this year.
Oh, so you're picking them to win the division. Put it on the
No,
board? Oh,
not at all. I
coward.
still think, it's right now it's Philly's division to lose.
What's that number?
And their over under is 10.5. I think I got them over. And in that division, if you want to be the clear cut, winner of that division, you have to win over 10 games. Because that division is so it is tough. They all play each other. As bad as those teams have been at different points over the years, they always play tough against each other. Like that's when they really, bring it, as the kids say.
Cool kids say.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Eagles win this division. I got the over 10.5. Jalen Hurts was playing at the MVP at an MVP level last year before he got hurt. Now, I just thought about an award for when we finish everything. MVP. NNPM MVP not named Patrick Mahomes. All right, we're gonna have to right, so we're done with the division. So let's go through it real quick before we get the wild card. Your NFC South, we both picked the Saints at the over 9.5. NFC North, we both picked the Lions over 9. NFC West, I picked the 49ers, but with the under of 11.5 wins. You picked the Seahawks over 8.5. And for an NFC East, we both picked the Eagles over 10.5.
Correction, quick correction. I
Yes.
have the Saints winning the division under 9.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. We both picked under. I'm
Nine
sorry.
and eight.
Not yeah, we both picked under. I think we both agree 9-8. I don't see anyone winning 10 games in that division.
Not for a long time.
All right, so I hope you still got that list up because we're going to talk about the wild card teams we think are going to win.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I want to point out in 2001, here are the teams that made the playoffs. The division leaders were the Cowboys, the Packers, the Buccaneers, and the Rams. The wild card teams were the Eagles, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. Fast forward to 2022. Let's see. The Packers didn't make the playoffs. near the Cardinals. So once you have that in mind, when you think about teams like who, like not every team from last year is going to make it.
Right. And how many teams do I have to pick from the NFC to make the
three wild cards. So far, from our choices, we've both knocked the Vikings out the play. Well, we've knocked them out of the North division title because we both picked the Lions, and we knocked the Buccaneers out because we both picked the Saints. You knocked the 49ers out because you picked the Seahawks.
Yeah. So, wild card, I've got my three.
All right, give them to me.
I've got the 49ers. I have the Cowboys. And I have the Washington Commanders.
He's got the Commandos.
I got him switching out with old Danny Dimes. I'm very interested to see how this plays out for Bieniemy in this first season. I'm rooting for the guy. Like, you want to see a guy that that takes a chance on himself. Mm-hmm. You know? Because it's very easy to stick around with the best quarterback in the world and earn a nice, very nice, comfortable paycheck of probably $500,000.
Big money, big money.
And, you know, collect $5,000 to $10,000, you know, championship rings, however much they cost, you know. They give the players the real deal. So they're probably, what, $20,000 rings that they get?
More than either one of us could afford.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. 49ers, Cowboys, and Commanders. All right. So I'm trying to pick a team that either finished outside of playoffs or, you know, under 500. You know, I expect someone to make a jump. I don't think I'm going to pick anybody from the NFC South.
No.
No. So I'm gonna go with the Cowboys.
Gotcha.
I picked them, but I'm not 100% with it because remember when we did our MLB preview, and I was like the Yankees, I knocked them out, and look what happened to them. I feel like doing the same thing with the Cowboys. But I'm pick the Cowboys, the Rams. I expect them to make a bounce back. And then I'm going to go with the Vikings.
So say that again. Cowboys.
Cowboys, Rams, Vikings.
Wow. The Rams, that is a unbelievable pick in my opinion. Hmm.
I think they right the ship and they get back to contention.
Right away.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, I said it's tough to make a big leap like that, but you're going with it. And I can respect it.
Well, money where my mouth is. Figurative, not literally.
Correct.
All right. So last decision. NFC champs. Who you got going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. NFC champs. You know, it's hard to you know, I'm trying to be different, mm-hmm. but it's like, but you know, Philly makes the most sense out of everybody else based on the picks that I've made.
Yes.
Because I don't think I think Seattle is going to be better than San Francisco because of, the uncertainty at quarterback for the 49ers and until Brock Purdy gets back. But I don't think Seattle can make that kind of leap to get to the Super Bowl.
I'm just
You
sounding the
know
boy, man. Just talk it out.
But at the same time, we don't have a lot of time left in this podcast and left in this life. So I will say, just because life is short, you just know. I'm going to make the dumbest, boldest prediction of the year. And I'm going
God.
Detroit Lions, baby, all the way to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Because it's easy to pick Philadelphia. And it's also hard for Philadelphia to repeat for any team that's not that doesn't have the best quarterback in the world on their team, you know?
Correct. I like that choice. I'm not gonna lie to you. I like that choice.
Thanks.
I'm not gonna pick that. I like it. So there are two teams staring me in the face right now. One of them is the 49ers, and the other one is the Cowboys.
You're not considering Philly at all.
I disagree with I agree with what you said. It's just so hard to repeat. And I still wonder what would have happened in that game if Brock Purdy was fully healthy.
Yes.
I'm looking. Ah, man. Although picking if I picked the Cowboys and they actually made it to the Super Bowl, I would feel like a god because I'd be like, yes, finally they did it. When none of these other predictors get it right, I got it right. I did it. But do I want to bring joy to Cowboys fans?
Right, exactly.
Real quick, do you consider the Cowboys a rival of the Texans?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because even when the Texans aren't great, they still put on a show against the Cowboys. They still take it to them. They did last year, right? They lost the game, but it was close. Right? What was the
I don't know.
score?
I feel like the Titans are more of a rival than Titans, the Colts, like the teams in our divisions are more of a
Sure.
rival than the Cowboys. I really, even when my coworkers who are Cowboy fans talking about the Cowboys, it's not like I get mad. It's more like I feel sorry for them for still believing.
Right. And I get that because they don't play each other every year. You
Yeah.
know, that makes it, that definitely takes away from, the full, the full commitment to calling it a rivalry. But when they do play, those games are usually competitive. They're at least,
The
something
fans
to
are
watch.
into it, yeah.
Yeah. 27-23 Dallas last year.
Man, you took the Lions. That was a really good pick. It's like it's bold, but it's believable. You feel like they can go on a run.
And it's, you know what? And it's saying, yes, I'm falling for the hype. I'm all in with the hype and I don't care.
You know what? I'm just gonna go with it. I'm picking the Cowboys.
Let me tell you something. I was close to doing that too. And let me tell you this. I think picking the Cowboys is a bolder move. I think that's a wilder pick because, you know, they're all people are always picking them, and they don't do it. But they could the conference the way it is this year could very well happen. It's possible.
It's going to be like, oh, no one believes in us. We've embarrassed ourselves too many times. And then this is a year where everything clicks together. And
because when was the last time this conference didn't have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady?
It's been a mighty long time.
It's been a long time.
And like we both have said, Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback in the NFC, so it wouldn't be that crazy for him to make it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go with the Cowboys. I'll bite the bullet. I'll go with them this year.
I like it. I like it.
All right. So next podcast, we'll be doing the AFC. Do we need to go through our top five quarterbacks?
Yes, because somebody's going to get left out.
Oh,
and okay. I don't think we're going to have the same list.
Okay, that'd be interesting. Yeah, okay, we'll go with that. We'll do top five again,
and it'll be funner to this list will be funner to talk about because it's like the difficulty will be who's getting left out as opposed to who's getting in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be like this one where we both have the number one, you know, automatic. Yeah. But 2 through 5 and our honorable mentions are going to be fun as hell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds good. I'll go with that.
Oh.
All right. Anything else you want to talk to?
I appreciate all, you know, all the support and everybody listening, tuning in.
Yes, I appreciate you. Thank you.
This Thursday night, I'm hosting trivia.
Mm-hmm.
In our good buddy John Civi is going out of town again, so mm-hmm. I'm hosting trivia at Star Sailor on West 18th in the Heights of Houston, Texas. We start at 7:30. So if you're in the area, you want to play some trivia, win some prizes, drink some beer, probably watch some games. There's probably a game on. During that time.
Speaking
come on
of,
out.
Let's see what the Astros are doing real quick. What trivia?
General trivia.
Okay. I'm about to say Seinfeld trivia. Your boy is out. Astros are currently up 7-4 in this top of the 7th.
Nice.
I saw
1710 West 18th Street,
mm-hmm.
Houston, Texas. So, folks, come on out.
All right, everybody, thank you for downloading, listening, sharing, getting the word out. We appreciate it. If you can, wherever you get the show, please leave a 5-star review. We appreciate it greatly. Helps us with the algorithm. And more importantly, it helps us feel better about ourselves. And that's right. Most important, mental health.
That's it.
So we'll be back next week talking about the AFC. And we'll give you rest of our predictions, MVP, and the World Series and Super Bowl champion.
Cool.
And yeah, we'll have a lot of fun next week.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So for Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Later.